The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at Ka'Chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, Ka'Chava.com, code FITNESS.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, a mental health podcast for Christian women who are breaking free and recovering from living life in survival mode. Each week, you'll receive biblical and evidence-based insight and strategies to help you break the cycle of living life on autopilot. So if you're ready to build a life that doesn't exhaust you, friend, this is the place to start learning how. Recovery isn't always pretty, but it is possible. Hey, friend, and welcome to the Prescription for Purpose podcast. If this is your first time listening to the show, my name is Dr. Sharla. I am a board-certified pediatric and psychiatric nurse practitioner. I love the Lord, and I love His people. And here we kind of integrate mental health and our spiritual wellness all together so we can live life the way that God has called us to. So if this is your first time here, friend, welcome. And if you have been listening since the beginning, can y'all believe it's been 6 years? First of all, hey, friend, happy new year. How is your mama and them? I missed you over break, girl. I missed you. I did. I'm excited for what the Lord is doing. I am so excited for our episode today. We are going to be talking about how to stop living your life on autopilot. I want y'all to know there's a lot of notes. I want you to know that you're going to have to come back and listen to this more than once. I truly believe that this is sound, solid direction and instruction that God is giving His people. And I want to make sure that I deliver it in a way that is faithful to what God is saying and fruitful in your life. Okay. Now, before we get started, I have a couple of church announcements. One, We are getting ready to have our Clarity Reset Challenge over in the society. I am super excited about this challenge. It starts January 19th, goes all the way to February 1st. We are going to be locking in on clarity from the perspective of choice, commitment, and your confidence. A lot of us are so judgmental and critical of our competence, but you don't have a competence issue, a productivity issue, sis, or even a discipline issue. You don't have good clarity and direction. And so if you want to build a life of momentum and stop living on autopilot, I need you to head on over to thesocietychallenge.com or click the link in the show notes. Go ahead and get your spot. The ladies in the society have been doing the life audit to prepare for the challenge. Go ahead and sign up today, Fran, and you can get a couple of days ahead. Because when I tell you, the life audit has been giving the insight, the wisdom that is needed, it has been giving. Okay. Announcement number two. As I said before, I am here helping women learn how to move out of survival mode and into sustainable living. Why? Because, girl, I'm coming out of it too. And I'm trying to help you help me help us together. Okay. If you have never heard of survival mode living, if you are like, man, I do feel like all I do is try to keep up, but I'm not really sure where this is coming from, there's an assessment for that. Head on over to survivalmoderx.com or click the link in the show notes. Find out where survival mode is showing up or how it shows up in your life. And then you will get the insights that you need for the revelation that you need so you can start moving forward. Remember, I always say God reveals so that he can heal and we can have a better understanding of what he's calling us to in this time. Now, let's hop on in to stop living your life on autopilot. When we talk about autopilot living, living on autopilot really is a function that we utilize to conserve energy and to reduce the amount of decisions that we have to make, right? It is something that we have used as a coping mechanism to use routines instead of looking at choice, evaluating what things are working, and ensuring that we are making meaning in our life. And a lot of times this happens under chronic stress, under chronic responsibility, and emotional overload. This is almost that long-term effect of living in survival mode, is that eventually you will disengage and start living on autopilot. And a lot of us, it's easier to live life on autopilot because if you take a step back to become aware, to have a sense of revelation, you're going to be dissatisfied. There'll be a level of grief. There'll be a level of misalignment that you will notice that will feel like trying to change any of it is the cost is too high. Sometimes taking a look at living your life on autopilot threatens your stability because your brain likes to know pattern. And if your brain says, hey, this is new, I don't like that, we oftentimes shrink back and fall back into what? Our default to autopilot, to the things that we've known. This is how things like comfort zones exist, because our brain sees new as a threat. And that is not always true. So we have to make sure that we're in a place where we're examining ourselves and our lives, because if we're not, we will fall into obligations, habits, all of these things that look like they're being met and being met well. And we confuse things being done adequately with things being in alignment with what God has called you to do. And those are not the same. And so underneath, you may feel disconnected. You may feel like for the amount of effort that you're putting into your life, you're not seeing the amount of fruit. And I would challenge you to take the time to stop and ask the Lord to reveal to you if you are living life on autopilot. Now, this is different also from you having routine. So hear me well. I'm not saying that you don't need to live orderly, but even in you living orderly and having routine and systems in place, those routines and systems involve active decision making. You understand why they exist. Those routines can adapt when conditions change. And every now and then you're checking in to ensure that the systems are still serving their purpose. But when you live on autopilot, you're not really aware. You rely more on habit so you can avoid having to think about or deal with things emotionally. You continue the same routines without frequent reassessment. And you don't really deal with change because change requires attention and cost. When you live a life of order that still has structure, that is going to serve agency, the ability for you to make those decisions. We talked about this again last season, but when you're living life on autopilot, structure takes place of agency. When you're living an orderly life, because God is a God of order, you understand why you're doing what you're doing, and everything's always up for evaluation. If it don't work, then we change it. But when you're living on autopilot, you kind of just fall into this routine and you stay that way. And this is why a lot of times if you have been living on autopilot, you'll say, I don't even know how I got here. I don't even know how I got here, why my life looks like this. All I know is that I am dissatisfied and I need help. A lot of times, autopilot living is what happens when order is built from a place of pressure and not out of clarity. Living in survival mode, it requires routine to maintain function. And then over time, those routines harden into a system. And so even when you may be out of reach of whatever sent you into survival mode, kicked that threat, that fight or flight into place, even though you may be out of that space, you never took the time to re-examine your systems. You have to make sure that when you have order in your life, that you are still governing the order. All things should be done in decency and in order. However, the Bible does not tell us that we should continue life without examining ourselves. In fact, it says quite the opposite. And this is the danger. Now, once the Lord gave me this word, I said, okay, God, but how do we do that? And the Lord told me that we need to redistribute our assets. Now, stay with me, friend. Stay with me. I did the deep dive so you don't have to. Y'all heard me say, I do medicine, psychology. Business is not my forte. However, research is, and I've done the research for you, friend, so lock in. A lot of times when we hear a correcting word in regards to how we're living, our default mode in our brain wants to start looking at discipline, start looking at productivity, our efficiency. And that right there is half of the problem, because when we live life on autopilot, it has nothing to do with the amount of discipline that you have. In fact, what a lot of us who have dealt with this have is a misallocation issue. What is misallocation? To allocate something means to put it in its place. Allocation is a part of stewardship, of being a good steward. Misallocation, when we talk about it from a psychological standpoint, it is when you have the incorrect distribution or assignment of mental resources, attention, consequence, and it oftentimes comes from cognitive biases, comes from imperfect learning, and it leads to you having these suboptimal choices or behaviors, and then it impacts your life on this downstream. It is so important to understand that when you're living life on autopilot, you are not going to be able to utilize your competence to get you out of this. We have to look at our inventory. We have to redistribute our assets. I went down the rabbit hole and started looking at businesses and why they redistribute their assets. The first thing that came to my mind is businesses do this. Businesses redistribute assets all the time. And so I'm going to give you the six reasons as to why businesses do this. Businesses often will redistribute assets when they are trying to maintain their capital efficiency and a return on investment. So assets are moved when they underperform where they currently sit. So companies will constantly evaluate returns on assets. If a product, a division, a group of people are not pulling their weight, then those assets or resources get reallocated into something that are higher yield areas, and they protect profitability for the business overall. Strategic realignment. If a business's strategy evolves due to market shifts, technology changes, consumer behaviors, then assets are redistributed to support the new direction. Risk reduction. Concentrated assets increase vulnerability. So companies will redistribute to avoid overexposure to a single supplier or market or regulatory environment. Spreading assets, it lowers the overall risk within the system, and it improves resilience during disruptions or if there is a downturn. Performance correction. When a company sees inefficiency, mismanagement, or redundancy, assets are pulled back and reassigned. And this happens after audits, mergers, and leadership changes, and it functions as organizational discipline. If there is a time of crises, businesses will also start to redistribute their assets to ensure that assets can be sold, consolidated, or redeployed to generate cash, to reduce debt, and to stabilize operations. And then talent optimization. People are treated as assets within a business, and so higher performers are moved to critical initiatives. Teams are restructured to make sure that skills are aligned with strategic priorities, and this increases leverage and impact. And while we are talking about our personal lives, when you look at the connection in both business and in our personal lives, autopilot shows up when productive assets continue to be deployed by default, meaning like we're just doing what we've always done instead of us governing them intentionally. We call it autopilot living, but in business, it's called inertia. So resources keep flowing through the existing systems because they've always existed, not because they're still producing value. And us as individuals, we do the same thing with time, energy, attention, our identity, and we oftentimes blame money. But money, notice that money was not on the list of assets because money in business is not considered a primary asset in the system. Money is a downstream or something that comes as a result of these things being put into their proper place, these things being allocated appropriately. Hello, somebody. Money is not even considered a primary asset. And when I tell y'all this is about to get so good, I'm trying not to shout, okay? I'm trying not to shout. When we look at our lives, we have to understand that there is a difference between a productive asset and a financial asset. In business, they separate the two. So things like human capital, operational capacity, strategic focus, systems, reputation, risk exposure, reserves, time, those are the things that are considered core productive assets versus the financial asset. A lot of us need to start evaluating our productive assets. We're consistently saying that we need more money we need more this, we need more that. What if the issue is an allocation problem? It's time for you to redistribute your assets. One of the reasons that living on autopilot is so difficult is because we do misclassify the primary asset. In both business and biblically in our personal life, money should be treated as a driver for the other assets to work. Hear me out. Money is not a productive asset. Money cannot make decisions. Money cannot execute. Money cannot sustain systems. If you take a $20 bill and you set it on the table and you come back a year later, it's going to be a dusty $20 bill. Do you hear what I'm saying? In business, money is understood as what is called downstream. It is a downstream resource. It only becomes useful when it is deployed through these productive assets, through human judgment, through operational capacity, through strategic focus. When it is placed in the right productive assets, then you'll get more money as a result. But when those assets are misallocated, additional money cannot correct the problem. Additional money only delays the consequence. And the same thing is what we see in our own life. People who are living on autopilot or in survival mode, we think that we would regain agency, freedom, clarity, rest if we had more money, when in reality, our productive assets, our time, our energy, our attention, emotional regulation, our decision-making capacity are all being consumed by autopilot living. Autopilot persists because money feels measurable and actionable, and the internal stuff feels so abstract, it's hard for you to justify taking the time, energy, and effort that it requires to address it. And so you try to solve a problem that is really about stewardship and allocation with money. But until you review your productive assets in your own life, until you put things in their proper order, money will continue to be treated as the solution or the problem, but it's neither. It's neither. How do you know the difference between a productive and a financial asset? I'm glad you asked, friend. I got you, because I want to make sure that this is clear. Productive assets are assets that create value when you use them. So they make decisions, they execute work, they convert effort into outcomes, they sustain operations, they adapt to conditions. So in business, that looks like human capital, operational capacity, strategic focus, intellectual property, relational equity. But in your own life, this looks like your ability to make decisions, your ability to have time, rest, clarity of thought, your ability to pour into relationships. Because money is a financial asset. Money can store value, can transfer value, it can amplify value, but it does not make decisions. It doesn't execute, it doesn't innovate, it doesn't sustain performance. Money all by itself can't even sustain a business. That's why there are companies that have all of this money, but if it has terrible leadership, if it has terrible systems, if it has terrible strategy, that business is going down. Business leaders are taught to treat money as fuel, leverage, and a lagging indicator, not even the driver of what they do. So when you look at this in your own life, understand that money can buy time, money can create options, it can reduce pressure, it can support change. I'm not saying that we don't need money. I'm saying that we need to redistribute our assets. Okay? And the money will come. I got Bible. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. Money cannot bring back emotional regulation. And some of us, your money issue has nothing to do with the fact that you don't make enough money. A lot of us got more degrees than a thermometer. But your emotional attachment to buying things has to be dealt with. Money can't do that for you. Money can't create clarity. Money can't replace rest. Money can't fix misalignment. Money can't sustain your ability to choose and have agency. You can lose money. And you can recover it if you still have capacity. But you cannot recover capacity with money alone. You have to have the time, the emotion, the skill to be able to sit down and say, oh, I have this well. Think about the Proverbs 31 woman. The first thing it said that she did was she got up early. She divided the work amongst her handmaidens. That is allocation. Okay? She knew what she had and she utilized what she had. Money isn't.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance in the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Asset, but it is not a productive asset. It only becomes powerful when it is put and used through the right systems, with the right judgment, with the right level of capacity. And a lot of us are getting frustrated and or making decisions to gain more money instead of us doing what needs to be done to redistribute the assets that we already have. When you live life on autopilot, your life gets misdiagnosed as having money problems because money is visible. But really, living life on autopilot is draining your humanity, how you operate, your margin, and your focus. By the time money becomes the issue, friend, all of your actual productive assets have been depleted. If you're like, girl, I need more money, I bet you feel probably halfway burnt out and over it too. Money does matter. Okay, I know we got bills. I know we have things to do. I'm not saying, oh, just go on. No. I'm just saying, hear me good. You're looking for relief, but the way that you've been trying to obtain it is not working. And it has nothing to do with your consistency, your marketing plan. It has everything to do with how you redistribute your assets. How you redistribute your assets. So we went over some of the productive assets that are in business, but I want you to hear me when I give you kind of what that equivalent looks like. These are the things that you need to start considering and bringing before the Lord. And then I'm going to close out with a prime example in the Bible because I have word to stand on. That's why I'm so excited, because this ain't got nothing to do with me and everything to do with what God had said. Okay, listen, human capital. So when we talk about in business, human capital, this is about like the quality of judgment, decision-making, leadership. But for your own life, your emotional regulation, your discernment, your cognitive capacity, we talked about cognitive overload here. This is going to determine how well you can interpret a situation, you regulate your stress, you make choices, you follow through. if you don't have good human capital, you're going to always live from a place of reactivity. You're always living from a place of defense and you're never on the offense, regardless of effort. Some of us don't look at exhaustion as a signal of, hey, girl, something's not working. You want to condemn yourself and chastise yourself and try to effort your way into something that requires evaluation. Your operational capacity. So for a business, this is the ability to execute without breaking down. This is your physical health. Have you made your appointment to go see your physician for your yearly wellness visit? I don't want to hear nothing about how you can't do that. If you can't do that, something is the matter. Because if something happened to you, the whole ship goes down. Okay? Y'all getting this episode at this time of day because I had an orthodontist appointment. Hello? Your physical health, managing your energy, routines, rhythms. We've already talked about making sure that you have orderly structure versus autopilot structure. But operational capacity is going to show you how much you can actually sustain day to day. When your operational capacity drops, your life becomes more focused on trying to triage. So in healthcare, it's like, what is the most urgent thing? Who's the highest acuity? We need to deal with that first. So when your capacity drops, you can triage for a little bit, but you are only going to make it so far like that. And a lot of us live day to day just trying to put out fires. It's time to redistribute your assets and stop living on autopilot. Your strategic focus. For companies, this is what guides them, and it guides where resources are invested and where they are not. Heavy on the where they are not. We always want to pour, pour, pour. We definitely be like, oh, nobody pours into me. Then stop pouring until you can get to a place, to where you can get to a place where you have the ability to be replenished. Yes, friend. So these are your values, your convictions, and your sense of direction. Your strategic focus determines what receives time and energy. And if you don't have an active focus, everything that you pursue is going to be based on urgency and expectation and habit and not making sure that you're in alignment with the Lord. Again, over our break, I did the threefold focus to help you learn how to get better at and more strategic about what you are doing. If you are struggling with any of these things, you need to make sure you have your butt over in the society for this Clarity Reset Challenge. Okay, we're doing a lot more coaching in the society. So, shameless plug, after this, I'm going to be launching a coaching cohort within the society called PACE, where we're going to be working through this stuff monthly. So if you've ever wanted to work with me, the society, it's $19.99 a month, girl. Okay. Like, hello. And if you don't want to get another subscription, I hear you. Okay. Come for the challenge and leave. But I'm saying I have gotten inboxes from people like, do you take clients? I want to work with you. I'm only one person. Okay. I understand my capacity, but in me redistributing my assets in this season, I'm going to be doing a coaching container within the society, and it's going to be affordable because it's included in the membership. So you get more than just the coaching program. But if you've ever wanted to work with me, the society is where you go. All right. Next, systems and processes, your intellectual property. So in business, these are those frameworks that reduce friction, increase efficiency, and prevent chaos. So for you, boundaries, how you make decisions, all of your personal frameworks, these things reduce your cognitive load and your emotional labor by pre-deciding what you will and will not give your attention and effort to. These things matter. So again, If you're living on autopilot because you feel like it's emotionally too much, you can put the proper systems in place, but it's going to require you learning how to build some boundaries, how to have some rules for yourself, because boundaries are for you and not other people, and for you to have the frameworks in place to help you not make decisions. Here is one that is kind of lighthearted and silly that I have for myself. A framework that I have to help cut down on decision making is I only buy black scrubs. I'm not doing all these colors. Now, do I own other scrub colors? Yes, they've been given to me by my job. But when I purchase scrubs, I only purchase black. Why? I don't have to worry about finding matching tops and bottoms. Black. Black, the end. That removes any of the emotional labor, the emotional cost. I ain't got to think about it. Do I have a top and a bottom? Yes. You see how that takes some of the choice of me like, oh, I can't find the top to this set. You don't even worry about it, sweetheart. They're all black. Blackity, black, black, black. All of my scrubs. Okay. My glasses have variety. If I want to be cutesy, my little hair ties that I wear, variety, so I can be cutesy. But the scrubs are going to be black. Unless I wear the ones that have been given to me by my job, they're going to be black every time. But it reduces the cognitive load, it reduces friction, and it works for me. Reputation and relationship. So trust, credibility, goodwill. For you, your own relational trust, integrity, emotional presence. Some of us are frustrated and lonely, but not investing any time in relationships because you're living life on autopilot. Relationships require presence, equity, assets, your time. It requires your time. So you're not probably going to have 700 really good friends because you can't steward that well. Risk. So companies look at risk exposure and how to avoid catastrophic failure. You have to look at diversifying your identity. What you do, where you do, how and where, the roles that you play, and how you make meaning within your life. So if you only commit your life to just being a mom, and being a mother is a big deal, but that's more than who you are. Some of us have made idols out of roles and out of positions that God has given us that we are just supposed to be entrusted with and steward well with. So you got the baby that you wanted and you are a mom and you love it, but the gifts and the talents that God has given you, you have buried them. You in danger, girl. Okay? Because that baby's going to grow up and go on with their life as they should. You should send them on the way that they shall go, right? And then after that, a lot of times when people only dedicate themselves to this one role, your whole identity falls apart. So you have to ensure that it's not one role, one relationship, or one outcome that is carrying the load of all of your worth, all of your stability, all of your identity outside of you being a child of Christ. That's the only thing that can bear the weight of all of that. When you concentrate risks, it creates fragility. Don't be afraid to try stuff. We got to diversify. Businesses often have more than one stream of income. Your life should have multiple roles, multiple skills, multiple things that you can do. Here's the one that's going to eat you up. Margin. Not margarine like fake butter. Margin like space. Businesses often look at their reserves or margin because that slack absorbs any volatility that will occur after decision making. And having this level of reserve allows for thoughtful decision making. So things like rest, recovery, having emotional bandwidth, taking a Sabbath, having time where you can just free think, creativity will flow to you. God will answer your concerns, questions. He will give you the pieces of the puzzle that you need when you are taking the time to fully submit to him and to create margin to do that. This gives you the time to determine whether or not you're going to respond to something instead of just simply reacting. Anytime you don't have margin in your schedule, you are going to pursue everything with a level of urgency bias, and you're going to be forced into decisions. And then time, and specifically looking at the horizon of time. In business, this is about looking at short-term performance versus long-term sustainability. For you, this is being aware of what season you are in or you are coming out of and you're no longer in. Building patience, because God's timing and ways are not ours. And living life from a way where you ask yourself, is this sustainable? We oftentimes get so excited about different opportunity and we jump on them because we're thinking first about money. Let's be for real, somebody. And then we never question whether or not it's sustainable. And now you 6 months into your second job and now you sick and you hate it. But God's like, I never told you to do that. When you look and evaluate and allocate your resources and redistribute your resources appropriately here, you're going to understand pace. You're going to understand expectation. You are no longer going to allow short-term performance to overextend into your life and into your business. You are going to build for sustainability. And I pray this is blessing y'all the way that it blessed me. I'm like, oh, I got work to do. It's time to redistribute your assets. Now, you may say, Charlotte, I don't have no assets. The devil is a liar. Come on over with me, friend, to 2 Kings. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to summarize this. Well, actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to read the scripture. It says, one day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each aside when it's filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Friend, okay, we about to run through the gauntlet. I have so many things in my shanana. First of all, human capital. She knew she was in trouble. What's she gonna do? Seek wisdom. Did she try to figure it out on her own? No, ma'am. She went to go seek wise counsel. The breakthrough that she got, it was based on her ability to look at the situation, to decide what I need to do, and then to execute that accurately. Let me go talk to Elisha, because my husband served and feared the Lord. Operational capacity. She was able to collect vessels, coordinate the people in her household, and they poured. Okay? She still had enough capacity to do what was it, what she was instructed to follow the instructions. So that way that despite her grieving, because her husband had died, okay, she was still able to function enough to get done what needed to get done. She had a strategic focus. Elisha narrowed in on the asset, the oil. She didn't even value it properly. She said, oh, I ain't got nothing but this oil. That's something, friend. But that's how a lot of us treat the gifts, the talents, and the positions that the Lord has placed us in. There is something that God has given you that you are devaluing because you don't have proper perspective. And I pray that as you hear what the Lord is saying, that you look at your assets appropriately. A lot of us believe that your assets, that what you got going and how God is going to get something to you is attached to a platform. The devil is a liar. Hear me and hear me good. The Lord has allowed new opportunity to fall into my lap. As the weeks go on, I'm going to reveal to y'all some of the ways I'm going to have to redistribute my assets. One of them being, hey, if you want to work with me one-on-one, the society is the only place that you're going to be able to do it. That's what I got. Okay? Because I now have extra commitments when it comes to I teach nursing school. I'm working, and there's new opportunity at my job for me, which is very lucrative, and I am very grateful to the Lord for. But understand that none of those three things that I just mentioned are on my platform. Those are from skills that I acquired. None of them have to do with what I do here. Now, because my season and my capacity is changing, the way that I do things here, I have to redistribute, but none of that is on a platform. And the Lord is blessing me real bad. Okay? Stop undervaluing what you have. Systems and processes. She went and borrowed. She had to go and gather supplies. It was multiplication. She didn't do it chaotically. But then also when we get into relational, she borrowed from her neighbors. Hello? She borrowed from her neighbors. She was trying to avoid risk. She was about to lose her sons after she just lost her husband, lose her sons to creditors. The oil continued to pour. There was enough for her to pay her bills and live off of margin reserves. Now, remember how we talked about financial assets being something that happens downstream on the back end? Did Elisha give her money? Catch it, friend. Did Elisha give her money? No. The miracle did not involve money. The money was at the end. The miracle was in the oil. The miracle was in the oil. The oil poured to capacity, to the brim. And from the proper allocation of the resources, she was able to sell some and have money left over. The money came after the oil was sold. Stop downplaying your assets and put them in proper position. It's time to stop living on autopilot, sis. How do you do that? You have to redistribute your assets. Go read 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Come back and listen to this again. I pray that y'all hear what the Lord is saying in this season and you take heed to the instruction, girl. If you need help getting started on disrupting that cycle of autopilot living, lock in with us for the challenge that starts on the 19th. Go to thesocietychallenge.com, click the link in the show notes. If this blessed you, let me know. We are going to be shifting our approach. If y'all can't tell, but a new intro. The Lord is doing a new thing, and I want to hear from y'all. Leave a review, rate the show, shoot me an email. Let me know if these topics are blessing y'all. Let me know if there's something that you need more insight on, and I will take it to the Lord, girl, so we can do the work to recover well together. I love you, friend. I'm so excited to be back. Make sure you head on over to the Society Girl, and I will talk to y'all again next week. Bye.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.